kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Kings of freedom from around the world, you are most welcome, most loved, and most accepted at this digital campfire that we all convene. And there are expanding numbers convening at this digital campfire. I'm honored, and it's an absolute privilege of mine to be able to serve you in these deep, intimate conversations. And again, as always, and I keep reminding, coming back, repetition is mastery, but really coming back and inviting you all in individually and us together as a tribe of brothers around the planet, inviting you to enter this experience like it is a deep, intimate conversation with fellow brothers at the fire. I do so, as always, just speaking to this point of, you know, so often it's so easy to just listen to information via a podcast or read a book, and it's one little segment and it doesn't infuse any meaning for you. But I set up the context, I set up the sacred container that it is a deeply intimate conversation, because I come with the level of intentionality to communicate to you directly. Energetically, like you're sitting the far side of the table. A cup of coffee, cup of tea, whatever it is, glass of water, whatever fuck, I've lemon water, it doesn't matter, fuck what, what's in the glass, you get the point. It's intimate. You're across the table, in my cottage, there you are, and we're just having a passionate conversation. Of course, you can get technical and go, it's not a conversation because I'm the only one speaking, but it's energetically. And the conversation is, I bring your awareness to what's emerging within you. What do you have to say on this topic? What's emerging within you? What's your deepest truth? As you embrace and go deep into this intimate topic that, and every intimate topic that we speak about here at Kings of Freedom, it's about freedom. Now, freedom is a provocative topic for the vast majority of modern men, yet, and I'm on fire here this morning, you can probably feel it with the energy. You know, the core of masculinity is the pursuit of freedom. Now, the deepest pursuit of freedom is inner freedom. Outer freedom, I'm not talking about the socially conditioned being made into a cog in the economic system where the expression of outer freedom is the, and I honor all of these things and I have my own desires and, you know, but it's not the peak of your expression as a man, your expression of freedom as a man. The peak is not by having the massive house, having the great car, having the great wife, having the perfect kids, having all this external stuff on the outside that, you know, having the top job where you're the top man. And all of those can be beautiful expressions of your freedom, but what I'm talking about is inner freedom. And the topic here today is rituals are the seeds to fearless freedom. I'm just regrounding myself and regrounding you. It's like, why is it that I turn up here on a weekly basis and express my soul's yearning, what my music in the world is, my expression of the heart from my soul? My intentionality is to support you in accessing this inner fearless freedom so you can express your music fully, completely, unapologetically, fearlessly before you die. Now that you have the time. You know, it's about living and dying without regret. That's what fearless freedom is about. That's what masculine mastery is about. And as of yet, it's rare. The modern married man with kids that is actually embodying that. And I speak to modern married men with kids again. You know, I'm this just speaking to the adaptation of Kings of Freedom as I am honing in and learning to adapt a movement as it goes along. I have brought about that niche, that focusing of the message for married men with kids. Some of you powerful, amazing men that have joined this conversation earlier on when maybe I didn't actually have that more specific focus on married men with kids. You know, I've spoken to one or two guys that were following in that aren't married, don't have kids yet. Maybe you mightn't enter that arena. You're still more than welcome at this conversation. I'm speaking to married men with kids because, you know, that's the octagon for men. It's like in deep, intimate relationship with the feminine. And indeed, there's some powerful, amazing men out there, you know, doing a dance with other men in the magnificent unfolding of this beautiful planet and humanity as we actually become more open-hearted. There is that dance. And then with kids, I mean, it's an intense arena. So at the core of freedom, today's conversation is about rituals. Yet I want to be open, you know, the fire in my energy, it's actually, I'm just going to drop in, you know, putting a hand on my heart, one on my tummy and dropping into my body. The emotion I'm feeling is anger. And I speak to anger, I've spoken to it before. I unapologetically use the word anger. A lot of guys sort of think, oh, geez, he's angry? You know, who's he against? I'm not against. Anger is what you're for, actually. Anger unconsciously expressed can turn into aggression. Aggression is when you overstep the boundaries of other people. It's not aggression. I'm not feeling aggressive. I'm not going to back off this and go into frustration. Why I'm feeling this enlivening energy of anger, the boundary setting emotional drive within me is, my beautiful queen yesterday had a get-together outside here at the house. She was doing yoga with some powerful women from around the area. And one woman turned up, and she's a woman that has family. And she was speaking into the space that her son just finished college. And she made a comment that he went from just finishing college straight into a job. She noted with sort of curiosity that, you know, he didn't even go traveling. He didn't even take the summer to himself. But what really rattled me, and it's nothing new, but it's like, wow, his comment. She said it to him. She spoke. She's like, oh, you didn't take a break. You didn't, you know, go traveling or, you know, just take a bit of time to yourself. You went straight in and you got a job. And his comment was, yeah, well, she, you know, like, I mean, that's it now. You know, I get a job and that's it. And the woman sort of detailed what he was actually meaning. It's like, that's it. He has a job. That's, you know, that's it. He has the job. He's in. No more external freedom. He has the job and, you know, he's just, there was an air of submission to him. And she sort of went on to say, it was like, oh, you know, he probably is looking around and, you know, you have to be grateful that you have a job. You know, there's people that don't have that stability and, you know, like he's sort of happy to have a job. And then, you know, you hear a little bit more about her value system and she's in a job that actually she really doesn't like. But it's because it's pensionable. You know, she has the security. The job is hers. She'd want to murder somebody or she'll never be fired in that job. So she has this security of having a job, which is financial security, which is survival security. Your survival is not in question. There's no commentary on these people. This is what's really getting me going. Like, I'm thinking more of like kings. Is this 22 or 23 year old man entering his life, you know, into adulthood in many ways. He's beyond education. He's entering the world. And he's already resonating this feeling of that's it. It's the polar opposite of fearless freedom. It's the polar opposite of what Kings of Freedom is about. And yet, here, look at, to bring the most provocative sense, I want to sort of kick it off where, you know, fearless freedom, it's a cagey topic. It's a provocative topic. It's meant to be a provocative topic. What I'd say is a lot of guys will say, you know, I'd ask sort of questions, a coaching question can be is, you know, rate your life, how happy you are, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy you are, how fulfilled are you, how free do you feel you are, on a scale of, like, a lot of guys will sort of be, 7. And psychologically, in these tests, like, normally when people give a 7, it's like it's a 4 or a 5, actually. But, like, there's so many of these answers that we'll give, and to a point, it's not that guys are lying. You know, most men will sort of go, no, I'm feeling quite good. You know, how's your fulfillment at work? Oh, I feel like I'm a 7 or 8. You know, there's a bit of stress and, you know, I could do with a raise or, you know, but I feel like 7 or 8, it's meaningful, fulfilling. I enjoy it. You know, there's a good challenge there. And yet feeling into the energy of so many men I end up speaking with, like I have friends from college that I remember they out with guys back in college, and I was doing outdoor pursuits, I was doing like nearly every bit of the community I was in, there was a wildness in guys. And the majority of them, when I speak to them now, the wildness is gone. And you know, you might ask, it's like, well, who are you to judge, you know? You know, when you talk to enough men in deep, intimate work, in men's circles, in deep, intimate conversations, and having went so deep into my own life, you know, the wildness and the freeness of a man is communicated by the look in his eye, by the tone of voice, by the language he's using. You can't hide a suppressed warrior. You can't hide a deep inner yearning to be fucking ferociously free. Because we're living in a society, in many senses, is very sanitized. And it's producing men that are showing up that are just joining a social system like this 22-year-old, 23-year-old boy who's like, well, you know, that's it. That's it, I've got the job. And a lot of married men, you know, like, when you got married, why'd you get married? Really? Why? You know, there's a lot of this social tick the box because, well, that's just what a man does. And I know maybe, like, you're one that's like, oh, I'm madly in love with my woman. And, you know, in many senses, yeah, for love. But why? Did you really, really, really deeply question, did you have to get married? Was that a necessary part of being a man? Then you had kids. Why? So you got married. Maybe you just wanted to travel the planet. Maybe you had a mission that maybe having kids wasn't a part of that. Maybe yes, maybe no. Did you really question that? Part of fearless freedom is actually owning your sovereignty to start really looking and asking questions as to why you're doing what you're doing. The topic today is rituals, and I'm treading it in. There was a bit of context there. I was going spontaneously off it, but it's just infusing this fire of energy, and I come with love. Kings of Freedom, the conversations here is really to provoke. It's useless to have it just informational. You know, I was speaking with the tribe within Kings of Freedom, the private membership. It's a paid service, ultra affordable, but it's like, that's where we go really, really deep, and I intensely serve guys there to, you know, unpack, to unleash that full, ferocious, warrior, kingly freedom so that you can, you know, expand fearlessly into every single element of your life as a married man with kids. The topic today, we're talking about rituals. And rituals are the seeds to fearless freedom. And I'm really conscious, as always, with the language I'm using. Rituals are the seeds to fearless freedom. They're seeds. They're not the be-all and end-all. They're only seeds. And a seed of an oak tree, the seed of an oak tree, is a great potential. It has an enormous potential. It's actually a miraculous. If you just have a seed in your hand of an oak, you look at that. And like, we use this as a metaphor, you know, the seed, the acorn into an oak tree. That seed is packed with miraculous potential. You look at it. If you reflect upon an acorn, you're like, you know, we don't do this normally in modern life, but the deep metaphorical, spiritual, energetic significance of an acorn is enormous, because that, given the right conditions, given that bit of support, the potential is miraculous. You know, you come back 100 years later and you look what that acorn has become. It's like, wow, fucking wow. Yet a lot of guys out there, there's this teaching that, you know, rituals, oh, it's all about rituals. Some teachers, like, that's the forefront of what they're talking about. Rituals are only the seed. Habits are the oak tree. I'm going to be coming back to this, where there's going to be a few episodes in a row going. We're starting with rituals. It's a really sacred part of the conversation. It's just incomplete if you leave it at just your use of rituals being the most important thing. It will become clear in time. I'm going to have two more, maybe three more. I'll see how the whole thing balances out. Probably three more episodes on habits, so that you will have the full information to support your transformation into your greatest fearless freedom as a king. Kings of Freedom is not about information, it's about transformation. There again, it's like this deep, intimate conversation. Rituals, the word ritual comes from, I'm laughing at myself, is it Greek, is it Latin? The Greek or Latin root, ritu, which means that which is proven to work. So a ritual by itself is powerful, but all it is that which is proven to work. I'm going to introduce two terms or two statements. There again, they're consciously provocative. But it speaks to the differentiation, the distinction between ritual and habit, which I want you as Kings of Freedom, you guys listening in, to be of highest service to you. It is absolutely imperative that for the rest of your life you have conscious awareness of this distinction, and you never lose the importance of the distinction between ritual and habit. The mediocre man has a long list of rituals he fits in whenever his life allows. The king has a short, concise list of high-leverage habits he structures his life around. I'm just going to repeat those, slowing down to speed up here. The mediocre man has a long list of rituals he fits in whenever his life allows. The king has a short, concise list of high-leverage habits he structures his life around. I consciously use the word, the term mediocre man, because, you know, which man wants to sort of be directly called out on his mediocrity? One of the most powerful things in deep masculine inner work is, you know, just speaking, teaching, asking questions that bring men into the full frontal truth that actually, maybe not in all aspects of their life, but in core elements of their life, could be in relationship, could be in purpose, could be in parenting, could be in their spiritual life, could be in their health and fitness. Maybe you're ticking the boxes. Some guys will tick the box, you know, of work quite well, financial gain quite well. Why? Because it's such a socially approved expression as a man. But then relationship, parenting, health, fitness, there's many aspects that are really at a mediocre level. So I use that word. It's a conscious, energetic slap in the face. If you feel a little bit triggered by it, good. It's a provocative conversation. I have powerful men in my life. I have powerful teachers in my life. I'm held to account to a really high, rigorous accountability to my standards in my life. So hence, I bring that heat. I bring that flame here. It's not just informational, it's transformational. The mediocre man has a long list of rituals he fits in whenever his life allows. And this is key when you start, if you're using the word ritual or you hear some teachers use the word ritual, it's very important because as we speak into our existence, we are creating our existence as we speak into our reality. So if you're using the word ritual and you're not really aware about what it actually speaks to, you're going to be creating results that are not going to be high enough, considering your standard as being an identified king. If you're listening into Kings of Freedom, I'm talking to you as a king, not as a mediocre man ever. You know, rituals. The mediocre man fits in rituals, that which is proven to work, and he fits it in sort of whenever his life allows. And there's a long list of them. You know, a ritual is that which is proven to work. You know, you'll know from previous experience, you know, that time when, you know, you go into a burst of jogging, could be summertime, the weather's good, early mornings, you know, it's like bright mornings, and you get into the jogging frame of mind and you bang out like a few months off it and you're feeling fit, you might lose a little bit of weight, you're feeling a bit more vitality. It's a ritual. It's that which is proven to work. It's proven to work for you. But then, whatever. The season changes, work changes, a kid comes along the way, the ritual is gone. You engage with it to a point, but it sort of comes in spits and spurts and phases. You might have a bit of a ritual of, you know, you've tried meditation a couple of times. It's like, oh yeah, it's really good, and you found out it dropped you in and create a bit of peace, you know. Oh, that time I did it at that workshop. Yeah, I really liked a bit of breath work, and, you know, really helped me drop in. And, you know, it's a ritual. Some part of your experiential know-how has linked this activity with a certain effect. It was proven to work. You had a proven experiential learning that was forevermore. You can point to that topic and go, hey, you know, that sort of worked for me. It's still just a ritual. The habit is when the ritual becomes so systematically structured into your life that it's now something that you do by default. The classic example is brushing your teeth. You know, you don't brush your teeth today and then, oh, well, you take 3 days off and, oh, geez, I just remembered to brush them again and then 2 days off and then, fuck, there was that time when you were really busy at work, you know, or, you know, oh, Jesus. How many times does a newborn comes into the family, the firstborn, so it's like it's all chaos. How many men actually forget to brush their teeth for 2 weeks? Oh shit, like those first 3 months, man, they were really, really busy. You know, I forgot to brush my teeth for 3 months. No, that's the power of a habit. Brushing teeth is not a ritual. It's proven to work. You know it works. Oral hygiene, fucking brilliant, very important. You don't want to be going around with smelly breath or dirty teeth. I mean, it's not becoming of any man. Even a man at his most mediocre will not actually stop brushing his teeth. Very few times will that happen because it's such a set, ingrained habit. It's a non-negotiable. It's easier to do than not to. And that's the distinction between a ritual and a habit. Brushing your teeth is not a ritual. It's proven to work. It sort of is a ritual, but it's transformed into being a habit. Yet, rituals are still powerful. I'm going to do a deep dive today into the power, the potent power of rituals, because rituals are the building block. They're the seeds of fearless freedom. They're the seeds of your greatness. They're the seeds of you reaching your fullest potential. It is a topic and it is a word that is worthy to slow down on. You know, there again, you can just go, oh, rituals are the building blocks of greatness, and that's enough. That's the common man's way of, oh, one bit of information, that's enough. Tick this box, I have a sentence, on I go. There's a deepening needed. Part of the deepening of rituals, as I teach them to clients and to men within the membership, etc., I use the acronym for ritual. Or R-I-T-U-A-L. Fantastic, you've learned how to spell ritual. Or responsibility. Rituals are an incredible way to be a responsible king. The mediocre man sees responsibilities as a chore, as a noose around his neck. You know, he sort of is highly resistant to more responsibilities being put on him. The king sees responsibility. You need to hyphenate it to see the potent power and why it's a building block of fearless freedom. Responsibility. Viktor Frankl, if any of you have read of him, and those of you that haven't, he's such a fantastic character. Caught in one of the concentration camps, I don't know if it was Auschwitz, whichever, anyway, any of them. There was equally horrific, every single one of them. He found incredibly deep meaning in that experience. He went on to form logotherapy, which is meaning therapy, finding meaning in a situation. One of the key teachings he spoke about, responsibility, comes from his capacity to separate stimulus from habituated response. And this is where our greatest freedom is. This is where consciousness lies. This is where your kingly capacity to own your fearless freedom, it only comes when the stimulus, which is your life situation, the stimuli that you meet on a daily basis, the life that you have created around yourself, and yes, you are the creator of your own life experience. That's the stimulus. There's a gap that exists for the conscious king between stimulus, life situation, and response. Within that gap between stimulus and response, you have the capacity to choose a new response. Hence its response ability. This first key part of ritual. Within your responsibility, you have... When you choose a conscious response, a new response to a stimulus, the stimuli in your life situation, you have the power to create a new situation. And this is why rituals, when used consciously, when you recognize and slow down and go, wow, it's not just something that I do. Like if you go jogging, it's like, yeah, I like jogging. Yeah, it's a bit of freshness, I like to get out and that, but... You know, whatever. It's like, you know, it comes, it goes. I do it sometimes. You're not inherently realizing, you know, the massive power, the response ability. When you choose a new response, it's one of the most creative things you can do as a man. Because that response has the ability to transform your entire life. And you are that powerful. Going deeper here, when you go at stimulus and response and that gap in between, i.e., at this topic, there again, it's not an intellectual journey. It's not just heaping information on top of you. I want this to be a deeply meaningful, transformative inner world experience for you. Slowing down to speed up. I invite you to, now, you're out jogging, you're in the car, wherever you're listening to this, in an appropriate manner within yourself. You know, it's like, what is your situation? Your life situation. What is it that you want that maybe now you don't have in your life? Many times in coaching, just that question enough, what do you want? It's one of the most difficult questions to answer for the vast majority of men. A lot of men will be like, oh, but my life is sort of good and it's fine, but it's amazing. You would be amazed how often that stumps so many men. Quite often, they can be very successful men, quote-unquote, by socially acceptable standards, to have the money, to have the big job, to have all these different things ticked in their life. What do you want? So sometimes, actually, the best place to start is, what do you not like in your life? What are you minimizing and normalizing in your life to the point at which maybe you don't even question the fact that you don't actually like it. You've just minimized and normalized it. You've just surrendered to, well, it just is. You know, maybe you don't like your relationship with your wife. Maybe you don't like the way your wife shows up with you. Maybe you don't really like the way she engages with you. Maybe, you know, your sex life. So often married men with kids, sex life. the first person in the relationship to sort of disengage over the long term is the woman. She gets a little bit bored with the mundane approach of the man who has had no training at all in deep intimacy and, you know, sexual exploration, etc. And she gets bored because the feminine responds completely different. Maybe that could be a part. I pointed that because I remember a guy that, you know, I asked in deep coaching conversations, like, oh, you know, your intimate life. How would you rate your intimate life with your wife? He was married with her, like, sort of long-term, did grown-up kids, etc. And he had a very bright, sparky, confident, oh, Mark, I'd say, like, 8 out of 10. It's like, oh, wow. And intuitively, and I don't know exactly, I don't remember, you know, was there something else that I picked up along the way? But intuitively, I just sort of spontaneously asked. It's like, if your wife was here, and I asked her how satisfied she was, how fulfilled she was in her intimate life with you, what answer do you feel she'd give out of 10? He went quiet. I stayed quiet. And in the deafening silence that ensued for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 seconds, I just stayed quiet. His confidence went. And when the silence was finally broken, he was like, if she exaggerated, she'd probably be kind to me and give a 2 out of 10. And this is what I'm asking you to do. Not for me, but for yourself. In this conversation, you know, what is the stimulus in your life? What is the part of your life that is continually showing data to you that you might just be learning to minimize and normalize because maybe deep down you don't know how to transform it. Maybe deep down, actually, you know, the accepted standards of what you learn growing up, maybe, you know, very often it's like, oh, when a father ended up tolerating a certain type of experience with your mother, you just learned that that's the standard for you. You know, you can't really go beyond that. You just have to put up and shut up. Maybe the parenting, you might feel that you're doing a nudge better. A lot of times guys feel that, you know, they do a nudge better than the generation going before. They do a nudge better in parenting, or quite a nudge better in parenting, a nudge better in work, etc., etc., etc. But then they leave it at that. It's almost like, yeah, well, I've done a nudge better. Energetic, I'm doing a nudge better in this. My dad did there. It mightn't be very often it's a subconscious thing. But you just get to this point where it's like, well, you know, I'm grand. Or you get to a point where very often it's like there's a part of your life where you're just not putting your attention on at all. What is that part? I really want you to sort of be radically honest with yourself. Not for me. You know, you don't have to do anything for me. Kings of Freedom, you're not showing up for me. You're showing up for yourself. But I do, to make this deeply meaningful, I can rattle through all of this stuff as theory. I'd be in and out the far end. I could do the theoretical part of this in 10 minutes flat. Done, dusted. You'd have information. Wouldn't bring any transformation. You might think, geez, that was interesting. There's a nice informational journey. I listen in to Mark. He does the research. He formulates an acronym. It's semi-memorable. And it isn't worth fucking shit to me. That is not why I'm here. That is not what Kings of Freedom is about. I want you, I'm inviting you to find some situation in your life now as you're listening where you're like, wow, maybe it could be your body, your parenting, your money, your spirituality. Maybe you don't have any inner peace. Maybe your mind is jumping around all the time. That's a very common one for men. You know, are you able to actually sit down and just enjoy the peace and quiet of a sunset without your mind going fucking cock-a-hoop about work of the day, the stresses of life? Are you able to switch off? When was the last time you had a day of total solitude to yourself in the middle of life? Is that an element? You know, is that a form of your expression? That you're just have minimized and normalized, but you just don't think it's possible, so you just don't even go there. What is that part of your life's existence that you're just not going there? You're not putting your attention on because actually you might have just lost hope that it was ever possible. Maybe you're putting off your freedom until your kids are reared. Really? A lot of men are doing this. So, at this point, I hope, I expect, with the radical honesty that you have as a powerful man showing up, if you're showing up again and again to Kings of Freedom, and a lot of you guys are, you know, you're getting used to, it's not just your standard conversation here. I'm getting feedback from guys, and one of the most common feedbacks that I'm getting, and I fucking love it because that's the intention, are men saying to me, I don't have any men in my network, and I don't have any men around me that are having this type of conversation. That's the type of conversation Kings of Freedom is about. So it's my expectation that with the radical honesty that you have, the powerful king in you, that you have recognized some situation in your life where it's like, yeah, it's a bit cagey. Fuck, I don't even like that I'm putting my attention on here. There might be a feeling of even nerviness, or a feeling of anxiety, or a feeling of, maybe there's a feeling of relief that you're like, yeah, actually, fuck it, I'm happy that I'm putting my attention here. And you're looking forward to see what's coming. With that situation in mind, let's infuse the rest of this conversation with that situation in mind. Because responsibility, only when you recognize the stimulus in your life that is not satisfactory to you, and you slow down in that gap to recognize with awareness, you want to create a new conscious response. A ritual is a really fucking powerful place to start. It's actually the most powerful place to start. Without a ritual, something that is proven to work to transform a certain situation into something new, well, you're not going to go anywhere. Hence, rituals are the seeds to fearless freedom. The second part, or responsibility. The second part, intentionality. The third part, actually just skipping to it, is target. But I is really important, because target is like the goal-oriented part. And men, we really are at home with goals. I'm infusing intentionality as a very important part that most men miss the potent power of. Intentionality is emotional. We've been shamed out of our connection with the feminine, the emotionality within ourselves. Feminine is not female. Feminine is emotionality. It's that beautiful richness of the emotions that are inside of us. So it's reconnecting with that. It's like Simon Sinek, start with why. You're the emotional field. Intentionality. Why is it that that ritual is important to you? Why is it that creating a new situation? Why is it that transforming your sex life? Why transforming your financial life? Why transforming, upgrading your parenting? How you're able to connect with your kids? Why is it that transforming, you know, that constant, incessant monkey mind that you're continually worrying, you don't know how to switch off at life, it could be affecting your sleep. Why is it so important to you emotionally that you can drop into an inner peace? Why? You know, you start tapping into the sense of intentionality. And why intention is so important, and it's one of the most missed superpowers by modern men, married men with kids, living sometimes a lot of times, guys calling, even guys that have done a lot of deep masculine work, intentionality is a superpower that there's a lot of lip service. Intentionality is like the field of consciousness that we are now. Intentionality is so powerful because it's a present moment phenomenon. You access the present moment when you get intentional. This is where the superpower is. The target, the goal, is a future-oriented focus of the mind. Which, that's a real core masculine power. You know, I focus on the horizon. I will knock over every single domino between here to get to there. But that puts you in a paradigm. And this is where the vast majority of married men with kids, modern men, are caught. We're always seeking and searching out. And what we're doing now is to get freedom in the future. The great freedom we experience often is just like when we sign the contract. Ah, yeah, freedom. But what about the 99.9% of the time, which is the journey to that point of freedom? Do you see the... I'll do a deep dive on this, but I want to be really direct with this. So many men are like proud, you know, I'm a goal-oriented being, because they've heard, and there's a lot of work stuff, of course. And within the work environment, they want you to be goal-oriented because they want you to hit the fucking targets that gives them the profits and the impact, etc., etc., etc. Cool. It's a powerful paradigm to come from. But 99.9% of your time is spent in the pursuit of hitting that goal. That's called your life. So if your only meaningful sort of experience of massive blissful freedom, and I love hitting a goal, guys. I've reared with sports. I love when I win the victory, the breakthrough. Look at the victory point, the release and orgasm. You know, it's like I'm having to condition myself from how I was for so long. I mean, and like think about your orientation with, are you a goal-oriented being or are you an intentional being? How do you make love? Are you gung-ho sort of going for the sense of freedom on orgasm, the ejaculatory freedom? Or do you love every single second along the way in the field of intentionality where you're so there in the moment, emotionally open to the bliss of the moment of loving your woman, loving your partner, opening, blooming her open into full bliss? Are you more as much in love with that as you are the ejaculatory freedom? Actually, the more you get in love with that, to the point at which you don't actually need to ejaculate to have that sense of freedom. That's the feel of intentionality. So a ritual, it's really important to start packing in that, coming from that sense of intention. Why it is. What's that emotional feeling that when you achieve that goal as a result of that ritual, when you know, what's that feeling? So if it's jogging on a practical sense, oh, my ritual is jogging. Why are you doing that? Well, I want to lose weight. Well, when you lose those 2 stones, how do you want to feel? I want to feel confident about myself. I want to feel attractive. Well, from an conscious, intentional point of view, that's where you come from. You're like, well, if you want to feel confident, you want to feel attractive, start engendering that feeling. You know, from your first jogging session, bring a feeling of, well, I'm going to do this with confidence. That's my feel of intention. I will come from there. I'm not going to put my freedom to feel confident and attractive. You know, it could take 12 months to lose enough weight that you will, and you mightn't get to that point. Because what point does confidence, is confidence and feeling attractive justifiable? My point of bringing up intentionality, and most men miss it, is that's instantly accessible. You just have to consciously recognize what your intention is. You want to feel confident and attractive? Well, allow yourself to permission today to consciously go, well, I'm going to fucking like express and act as if I am confident. I'm going to act as if I am attractive. And yeah, I lose weight and I get fitter in time, but fucking, I'm going to come from there. That's the feel of intentionality. It's instantly accessible. It's a present moment phenomenon, not the future target based. Yet, at the same time, T, so or responsibility, I, intentionality, T is target. Hey, goal orientation is, I infuse in the intentionality bit, but fuck it. Like, I mean, I'd say so much of what's deeply meaningful of what you have created in your life has come from a certain goal orientation, has it not? It's a powerful part of the masculine, that linear, goal-driven, rational mind. We love hitting goals, and that's a really powerful thing. You know, evolutionary-wise, we had to hit the goal of taking down a woolly mammoth, or going out and coming back with a stock of fish, or a rabbit, or, you know, whatever it was as a hunter-gatherer. Our survival, our tribe, depended on us hitting the goal. So hitting goals is fucking sacred. But there's only one element of it. But hitting a target, you know, and hitting a target, there again, you know, I ask you, well, what's the target? Is it a high target? Are you really going for the, you know, shooting for the moon and if you miss, you land among the stars type style of target? Or are you going with the sort of, the guy that I introduced at the beginning of this, well, that's it, you know? That's it. Are you minimizing and normalizing, well, that's it, sort of a scenario? You know, I was talking with an old friend, and he was talking about other friends, and times gone by, I was in college with these guys, and there again, they were sort of mad, vibrant, warrior type style guys in college, and sort of the energy was, it's like, oh, you know, he's talking about another friend, and he was like, oh, you know, he's getting on great, he's so happy, you know, it's like, You know, I was talking to him there a few months back, and he was saving up to get the gates, the front of the house. And then I spoke to him, like, just there last week, and he's now saving up to get a ride on lawnmower. And as the story went on, it's like, the sense of meaning was sort of very much just digging up the outside of the house, maintaining the house. And, like, there's no right or wrong here, but, like, that's a socially conditioned mindset. That the highest expression of your freedom is, like, doing up the house, is mowing the lawn, is building on an extension, is buying a new car, is washing the car, is doing up the car. And I'm, you know, every man is to himself. Yet I can only come from a radically honest perspective of what's true to me. You know, one key thing of Kings of Freedom, that my deepest commitment here is not to try and be a nice guy and have this that any guy can listen in. I don't fucking want the vast majority of men to be able to listen to this shit. I actually want to show up in a way, I intend to show up in a way that a lot of guys will get insulted, a lot of guys will get so triggered by the direction, by the direct honesty, by the invitation to engage, by me actually asking you live, it's not live obviously you're listening to, but like live what comes through me. I ask you to, you know, to dig deep and ask yourself and answer as you're listening, you know, what do you not like about your life? I want the vast majority of married men with kids to listen in and go, I don't fucking like that podcast. I'd actually rather just listen to these other guys that just give it really tidily. You know, there's the ABC. They give like a, they give an acronym, but it's just informational. It feels, that's so inspiring. Doesn't matter that it's like out the far side. I don't fucking implement any of that. And it's just is like a band-aid on a sort of a meaningless mundane life where it's like, I just pepper in a podcast. Most guys get, what I have observed is most guys' engagement with life and engagement with podcasts is just to fucking fill in a gap in the way home from work. But like the full-on radical warrior-like engagement with that, with the identity like you are an Olympian champion going for fucking gold, that if you get one bit of information and it's a key, it's a ritual, it's a thing that you know it can, you by implementing it, you're going to achieve that target. You implement it with 10 out of 10 fire, warrior fire, and you bring it to the full completion. Very rarely men engage with podcasts or books or coaches like that. It's free. Whatever comes, it fucking goes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'd rather have a really small, tiny audience than millions of guys where 99.9% are just listening, whatever. It's like, it's informational. It's not transformation. You're not here. I'm only here to talk to men who have the spiritual balls to take information and bring it into embodied transformation. That's the game of Kings of Freedom. There's no freedom if it's not embodied freedom and totally transformational. There's no freedom. So, there again, RIT. I'm inviting you and actually unapologetically challenging you. Core of conscious masculinity is direct challenge. Powerful men who are aligning their life around their masculine core, their warrior core, their kingly core. They surround themselves with men that will directly challenge them and hold them to account. So I'm actually challenging you directly to set a target now. Maybe that first situation, you know, what do you not like in your life or what do you want? Maybe there's some situation where you're like, yeah, okay, it's in relationship or it's in my health and fitness or it's in my financial. I'm challenging you to set a target that fucking sets you on fire to go for. Something that, okay, don't make it completely impossible. There's this Goldilocks, you know, if you, sometimes guys set these ridiculous things to go from, I've had a long heritage of doing that, coming from inadequacy, I'd set some crazy financial goal, or I'd set some crazy goal that it was like, it felt like, oh, I'm so fucking powerful, my power, I'm so so powerful, I'm the type of man that sets that goal, and then I'd actually, I curl up, I wouldn't go for the target because it actually would be way too much of what my sense of belief felt was available to me. But then there's a balance where you can undercut it and you go with such a mundane, mediocre, meaningless target that is so easily accessible that it's just not meaningful. It's like, yeah, well, that barely, That barely nudges the arrow in my life. That barely the needle of my life's existence, doesn't it? Flickers at most. So it's not meaningful. You're not going to bother your arse to go for it. What's that point in between? What's something into the stretch zone that, yeah, it's a target. It's a stretch for you to put it there. You can get into flow. It's sort of beyond what's possible, but it's just a nudge beyond that. It's, you know, it is achievable, but you're going to have to stretch for it. What is that target? Set it. And when you hit that target, well, then you've taken a substantial step. And from that sense of possibility of achieving that, well, then you're going to set another target. And then what might have been the initial totally outside the realms of possibility from your current identity, your current belief system of what was might today seem impossible, in a month's time, 2 months' time, 6 months' time, when you hit that first target, that you're a step closer to hitting that impossible of today. That's the Goldilocks method. Get it right. Not too hot, not too cold. Get in the middle. R.I.T. Ritual, responsibility, intentionality, infused with a target. Rich, ooh, we're at you. You is unlimited. And so often, guys, I've actually looked at it. I've listened in for years to podcasts. Like, I've... And read. I'm just sitting here, like bookshelf, and there's periodically there's like loads of books here, and periodically I shift them on. I have some classics that I just keep them there. They're the long term ones. I'm an avid fan. It's actually an integrated part of my life. Is just like steeping myself into the wisdom of other men, other people that have, you know, have reached their highest potential, and they have teachings or just learning by vicarious example of their autobiographies. And the word unlimited comes, and it's a very bandied about word that can almost lose its meaning. But I really want to reinvigorate your engagement, your felt excitement when you hear words like unlimited, limitless potential. I challenge you to freshen up the warrior in you. I challenge you, like I read, this is, I'm leaning in. Do you know what happens to me? It's actually like I get so intimately engaged in these conversations that it's actually funny. When I slow down like that, and you'll hear it in my voice, I actually lean in towards the microphone. And it's like naturally what I'd be doing there across the table from you. When I really want to emphasize, I'm really deeply connecting with you. And I'm really just in a conscious, heart-centered way eyeballing you. I'm like intense, with an intensity of a gaze, looking you in the eye. I'm like, I'm leaning in and just saying to you, leaning in energetically, connecting with you at the deepest level and calling out that warrior in you. And I speak of the warrior in you, and I spoke this before. I love this passage that I read in one of the books. It's Warrior, Magician, Lover, King by Rod Boothroyd. Fucking classic. Check it out. But there's one passage where Rod speaks about these Native Americans riding into battle, and they rode into battle with such a lived intensity that their war cry was, "Today is a good day to die." They lived so intensely that they could die empty in that moment with that intensity. It's uncommon for the majority of men to live with such intensity that you can truly, hand and heart, go, well, if I fucking get taken today, I die empty. I've sang my music. I've given my wholehearted love. My last kiss to my wife was so fucking passionate that if that is the kiss she is to remember me by, that's enough. She'll have one lasting memory where, fuck me, that man was giving his all. That was a 10 out of 10 kiss. It was a fucking million out of a million kiss. That was like godly. I ask you now, and there again, like unlimited, we talk about unlimited potential, and a lot of guys, oh, you know, I have these, I'm a goal-oriented being, and I'm really hitting these things, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, guys, excuse me if I'm mimicking, but I'm like, I'm provoking with the mimicking. The vast majority of men are caught in the rational mind, and we create a lot of meaning from the hitting the goals, and we fill in the 99.9% of, like, my meaning is hitting goals. But, like, how intensely, how unlimited are you on an emotional level? How was your last kiss to your partner? How was your last making love with your partner? How was the last experience? How conscious and present were you in the last time you interacted with your kids? That last experience you had with your kids, if that was the last memory that they had of their dad, part of the king and part of the warrior archetype is the omnipresent acceptance of death as a reality. Fearless freedom comes from knowing that we do not know when death is coming, but we know for certainty that it will arrive. And living from such conscious intentionality, not fearing death, but accepting the sacred teaching that is in death, we don't know when it will arrive. So I'm there again, slowing down, unlimited. Great fucking word, but meaningless as shit to the rational mind. The rational mind is not connected with emotionality. So the rational mind, which the vast majority of us men, I'm holding my hand up here, like I was shamed out of my emotional connection. So much of my warrior, my king, etc., etc. I do this podcast, I do my work because it's, you know, if you want to master something, teach it. This, I'm calling myself out, just holding my hand up. I'm not here to inspire the guys. I'm here to provoke you. I'm here to provoke me. I'm here to challenge you. And as I challenge you simultaneously, I'm challenging myself. But the rational mind that we have camped out in and society has just channeled us into being rationally headed men. We've been shamed out of our emotionality, so we camp out in a rational mind. The rational mind can go, unlimited. Nice concept. Here again, and I'm just going with this energy, guys. It's from love. But unlimited should be stirring you to the bottom of the pit of your being. Like that Native American riding into battle. Today is a good day to die. If you're truly unlimited in every single element of your life, well, today, you're good to die. You're okay. Yeah, you might sort of go, well, I wanted to kick whatever your life is, your age is. I wanted to at least have another 40 years, 80 years, 20 years, whatever, ideally. But if today I have to go, if you truly lived unlimited in every single element of your life with fearless expression, you're good. Your legacy is good. You will be remembered for years to come. But here's the thing, 99.9% of men in true, deep, intimate conversation, many will be brought to tears with the level of what they're not living. That's what Kings of Freedom is about. That's why I believe, from direct feedback, why most men are coming back to it. Because it's an uncommon conversation, but only when you have an uncommon conversation can you open yourself to uncommon results. Unlimited. Or ITU. Responsibility, intentionality, target, unlimited. We're unpacking and slowing down to speed up. Building this level of intentionality into the idea of what the concept of ritual. So we go beyond it being just a simple concept that your rational mind goes, I know what a ritual is, into really being able to embody the full potentiality of it and bring it into that full oak tree. A, adapt able, or ITUA, adapt able. I think if the name is coming correctly to me, Anders Ericsson, he's one of the foremost teachers on peak performance. Slowing down to get a little sip of my... Lemon water. Love it. Segment of refreshment done. Back on the path here. Guys, adapt able. Anders Ericsson, peak performance guru, has unpacked what peak performance is about. Flow state. What... how to get the most out of your training, etc., etc. And like, what he speaks to as our superpower, what our superpower is being adaptable. Our nervous system, and your nervous system, I want to speak with you, your nervous system your physical system, your psychological system, your energetic system, every single thing about your entire organism, both physical and energetic, is adaptable depending on the challenges that you put it to, the training that it goes through. And the core part of masculine mastery is training. Think of the warriors of Greece. Think of the Spartans. Think of Navy SEALs. Think of Olympians. Think of, you know, the men that we admire so much and we put up so much. Navy SEAL commanders, UFC champions, Olympians, sportsmen. It's training. Zen monks. Such high esteem, you know, millionaires and billionaires will seek out a Zen monk. Very few times does a Zen monk bother his arse to seek out a millionaire and a billionaire. There's a message in that. Adaptable. A ritual is packed with so much potentiality. That seed is massive. Because it helps you tap into this superpower, which is your system is adaptable. You're living in an adaptive organism. It never remains static. And it will continually adapt to the challenges it's put upon. Now, you need sort of maybe a conscious training. This is why a conscious training. If you're getting into MMA, adaptable, you don't just jump into an octagon and get the shit kicked out of yourself. Of course, there's a conscious training. But that's where the ritual comes in. The ritual is your conscious response. There's a stimulus. This guy is coming at me. I get locked into this octagon. The stimulus is I get the shit kicked out of me. I better set a new ritual, which is turning up to the beginner's MMA. And that's my response. And I upgrade. My ritual is I attend that class and I get better and better and better so that the stimulus with this new response, I adapt to be able to face the stimulus. Adaptability. And this is like on a level there, the rational mind, you might have heard this before and it's like, yeah, well, sure, tick that box. I've been here before, I know that. The question then is, dear rational mind that loves ticking the box and camping out in this, and I'm going to call it out, and it's like I call it out myself, but it's this arrogance of our rational mind that so often it's like, well, I know that. So many men, like in talks, it'll be like, they disengage. I've heard that before. The question is, well, if you've heard that before, have you used to the full, unlimited, highest potential the adaptability of your psychology, the adaptability of your nervous system, the adaptability of your physiological system, the adaptability of your musculoskeletal system, the adaptability of your energetic emotional system in making love? Have you used the full potential of the adaptability of your system to be on fire to a level in all areas of your life? Have you? 99.9999% men have not. Now, this all depends on your standards. There again, if you're repeatedly showing up here, there's probably a part of you that really engages with this part, this uncommon conversation in the inspired pursuit of embodying uncommon results in your life. That's the king archetype. That's the warrior archetype. That's what the conversation is about. But it's really, we need to hold our rational mind to accountability. The way it can disregard, the way it can give an answer, oh, I'm at an 8 out of 10. Well, rational mind, you're at an 8 out of 10. Get feedback from your wife. 2 out of 10. Oh, I'm nailing parenting. Oh, I've adapted to the modern thing. I'm ticking that box. I'm doing great as a dad. Ask your kids for feedback. I've done that. And I found that, actually, for the first period of time, they weren't comfortable giving me feedback. Because I had been emotionally unpredictable for years. Now I'm getting feedback. Now they love giving me feedback. Now they love calling me out. Now they love putting me back in my box. So, calling out the rational mind for all its beautiful inherent arrogance that it just protects and deflects from questions that could reveal inadequacies could reveal many unspoken, unexpressed feelings of fear inside that nearly every man has, that only comes out in deep inner work. The type of work that we're having and that we're doing behind the scenes in the membership, and I point to that unapologetically because I want to be of greatest service to every married man with kids. There are millions out there living a life that is so below the standard of what you truly know to be good enough for you, what is your truest version of your fearless freedom. That's what's happening within Kings of Freedom. We're having powerful conversations, and in those powerful conversations and practices and how we're lining the thing up there in the tribe, this tribe of incredibly powerful men, is having these real conversations. And in those real conversations, I mean, there's a lot coming out there. Guys aren't coming anywhere near what their potential is, and that's okay. We're having the fearless conversation here. So adaptability. A ritual taps into this superpower, as Anders Ericsson says, of peak performance. And, you know, my invitation here is, like, start seeing yourself as a peak performer. You know, are you aligning yourself and your training? Your training as, you know, well, what's your identity? Oh, but I'm not an Olympian. So I don't have a conscious training system. You don't have to be a fucking Olympian. You don't have to be UFC. You don't have to be in sport. You don't have to be the CEO of a company to have a conscious training program, a conscious set of rituals to bring you to your peak performance as a man. You're enough just to be you, to have a conscious training system set up that you reach your fullest potential, your peak performance as a human being. Your woman deserves it, your kids deserve it. They're yearning for their dad to lead with such ferocity that they will model and emulate your modeling of peak performance. But if you accept a mediocre level, a standard, that you're just getting caught up in the chaos of life, oh, it's busy, 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 and they will learn by osmosis, and you won't be able to inspire them beyond your embodied level. That's the biggest trap in parenting. Oh, well, you know, I've minimized and normalized for myself just to provide the opportunity that, you know, the next generation will have better opportunities. They're going to hit the exact same levels, the exact same glass ceiling over your head. That's what they're going to do. Energetically. They're going to emulate and repeat your model. What you've modeled emotionally and energetically. Uncomfortable conversation, but it's an uncommon conversation to open ourselves individually and collectively into uncommon results. The last one is L. And it actually treads in beautifully here at the end. L. Love. How often do men in modern life speak about love? I saw a powerful guy I'm connected in with on social media just recently, and he's a guy from Ireland. He's moved to the States, so, you know, in the States, a little bit more of an opening to the feminine, a little bit more, you know, men will hug or they'll express love. And this guy treaded in, oh, love, into his comment. And one of the guys, I assume from the name, was sort of from back home. He said, oh man, what are you talking about love? He sort of started sneering, this guy, for saying the word love. It's like, wow. And I know, that's what I grew up with. Like, I grew up with this conditioning that love, you don't speak about love. Love is, that's like sort of girly shit. That's, love is fucking, like, we do the love thing on Valentine's when we have to, because fucking we get the red roses, we get the chocolates, we get the card, and we write the sort of thing, oh Jesus, you know, like we do it because we have to. Love is the core of the warrior. Love, ferocious self-love and acceptance, that's what I talk about again and again and again. And different guys have said to me, man, when you talk about ferocious self-love, it's like, oh, they just get this feeling that it's going to be airy-fairy fucking bullshit. I'm like, ferocious love is at the core of masculinity. Ferocious love, you've got to ferociously love yourself to actually value yourself enough to actually implement the ritual to the full potential, that you get fit and healthy, that you transform your situation. You've got to love yourself enough to have high enough standards that you will do whatever is necessary to implement the ritual that will bring deeper connection and will create a beautiful sex life with your queen. That you will go through the fire of what, of resistance, of what is necessary. Your inner resistance, the outer resistance of the world, to implement to the point at which you create the life scenario that you want. And this is a really uncomfortable part for men because, you know, we do what is necessary for everybody else. We do what is necessary to hit the goals for the boss because it's like, you know, you don't want to have your status that you're going to be fired. So you do what's necessary to keep your job, to hit the goals. You might excel within that. You do what's necessary to sort of keep the marriage. You do what's necessary, you know, for parenting. You do what's necessary. But very often we don't do what's necessary for ourselves to feel fully happy, fully on fire, fully fulfilled, on peace, on purpose, with a feeling of power that we can be, do, or have whatever we set our minds on. Feeling radically alive, unlimited energy. Getting into the day, jumping out of bed with a level of intentionality that's like, today is a great day to be alive, let me get into the world. When did you jump out of bed last with that sense of purpose, that sense of radical aliveness? That's only accessible to a man that loves himself so much that he sets himself up to a standard. He sets himself and he gets support from men, powerful men around him that will hold him accountable to such a standard. That's an uncommon level of life engagement, but that's what's available. If you are accepting that sort of a sluggish start to the day, sluggish sort of work, same shit, different day type reality where there's a certain segments of your life are you're quite fulfilling, but there's actually on a deeper conversation with a deeper provocative questions that you actually value yourself to answer. And, you know, most men, a lot of the life segments reveal that they're actually not loving themselves enough because they have learned through societal conditioning. No right or wrong, this is not putting you down. There is a social conditioning out there that, you know, you just don't have the standards. But not having standards is actually, it's a lack of loving standards of yourself. This might be the most triggering part of this conversation today. But I bring it, unapologetically. Only when you truly have reconnected with your birthright to love yourself. And so much of the social conditioning has been that, oh, loving yourself, that's being selfish, that's being self-centered. There's so many philosophical things out there, Buddhism, Zen, fucking lots of different teachings that, you know, it's like, oh, loving yourself, that's ego. Well, it takes self-love to actually value yourself, that you sit and do the meditation. That is the core practice of many of these traditions that shame self-love. And when we're not allowed unapologetically love ourselves, we become self-centered assholes, actually. Because in many senses, when we're shamed out of actually allowing ourselves love ourselves, that's where the worst parts of the human psyche come forward. Because we start, if we don't disregard, when we disregard ourselves as men, not feeling allowed to love ourselves, you know, to value ourselves, to value our emotions, etc., etc., we disconnect with our own self-love. And when you disregard your own self-love, you end up, you're not able to love somebody else. You can only love somebody else to the height at which you love yourself. This is a universal, like, energetic, emotional relationship law. Much disregarded in the world. But sure, look at the world that we are collectively creating. A big shift has to happen. And that comes from, I believe, energetically allowing yourself to love yourself. So ritual, R-I-T-U-A-L. Love is there at the end, but it's last but not least. Might be the most important expression of your love is the rituals that you practice. And yet it's a powerful place to start, to end this conversation, and it's a powerful place where we will, it builds the thread into rituals are only seeds, but it's when rituals become habits that the fullest potentiality comes. Even a rational mind can see and look back from your own life experiences, like those times, how often have you had experiences of stuff that you know works for you? Doing a bit of meditation, drinking a bit more water, cutting out that food, eating a bit healthier food, whatever, you felt a bit, a burst of energy, but you stopped doing the thing that you know works for you. You stopped doing the ritual. when you love yourself enough, you start realizing, and I hope, it's my absolute expectation that if you're still here at the end of this podcast episode, you've had the courage. I want to acknowledge you for having the courage and the tenacity to stay here for all of it to the end. You really know now that rituals are absolutely, it's the powerhouse of your full magnificence, your capacity to live and die without regret, to hit your full potential as a man and be such a leading embodied light that your woman knows, your partner knows that they are in the presence of godliness, of kingliness. Your kids will look and by osmosis naturally desire to emulate your sense of self-purpose and self-love and reach their fullest potential and bring beauty and magnificence to the planet. But the golden thread is that only when you love yourself enough and have such high standards of self-love and acceptance of your own magnificence that you will value yourself enough to bring the full potentiality of what is inherent within the seed of a ritual into a full habit. Coming full circle here. The mediocre man has a long list of rituals he fits in whenever his life allows. He knows that which is proven to work, but he just doesn't line it in. You know, it fits in whenever. And he has a long list of that shit that experience from the last 10, 20, 30 years. Where, yeah, that works, but he doesn't line his whole life around it. The bridge I'm going to be inviting you all, challenging you on, to come on is in the coming weeks. We're going to be going into a deep dive on the king has a short, concise list of high leverage habits he structures his life around. Your fullest potential, your capacity to live and die without regret, is forming habits. Forming habits, we're going to do deep dives in this in the coming weeks. The skill of habit formation is potentially the greatest skill available to you as a man. Your kingliness depends on your capacity to implement the skill of habit formation. You will rise to the height of your habits. You will rise to the height of your systematic, structured way of living. It's all about habits, guys. Kings of Freedom. It's about fearless freedom, masculine mastery, kingly confidence. It's an uncommon conversation, seeking the unleashing of uncommon results. It's an uncomfortable conversation, and to that, I do not apologize, unapologetically so. Quick recap. Rituals. Ritu, that which is proven to work. Or I-T-U-A-L, responsibility, your capacity to take a response to a stimulus. What is that situation in your life that is not adequately at the standard that you deserve as a man? I, intentionality, that feel of intentionality. Why is it that that ritual is important? What is that feeling, emotional level? What is that freedom? You can access that now. Target, yeah, of course. Set the target. Goldilocks style. Not too high, not too low. Make it sort of beyond the realms that of the comfort zone that just pushes you, but it's possible you can have a win there that will be deeply meaningful. Unlimited. Get out of the fucking rational high head of, oh, I know what unlimited, I hear about high potentiality, high performance, all this bullshit. It's an emotionally provocative term. Unlimited. There again, your only way to access living and dying without regret is when you're on your deathbed where you go, I fucking wrung every last thing out of every aspect of my life. At that point when you can live no more, you cannot go back. It's stripped from you, this comfort zone of, well, you know, I can disregard it today because there's always next week, there's always next year. At that point, there's no more. Unlimited. Access it today, true ritual. Adaptable. The superpower, Anders Ericsson. Almost founding teacher, the forefather of peak performance psychology. Your superpower, adaptable. You can adapt and overcome to reach standards of capacity and levels of engagement that are uncommon to the common man. And love, self-love, your capacity. Ritual is your direct expression of your self-love of yourself. If it's proven to work, if you love yourself, you're not going to let the busyness of life take something that works from your life experience. You're going to keep doing the things that make you feel happier, healthier, more vibrant, more confident, more in love with life. That's self-love. Kingly warrior men around the world. It's been another powerful conversation. Looking at the clock, it's maybe it's the longest yet. Wow. Unapologetically so. I honor you. I acknowledge you for your tenacity to listen to this all in one. Maybe you needed to come back a few times. I honor your tenacity to come back those few times. I'm here to serve you powerfully, unapologetically. The conversation is to support you, to challenge you, to reach deep down into the bottom pits of your soul, the pit of your gut brain, the heart brain, your cranial brain, and unleash your fearless freedom, masculine mastery, and kingly confidence to be the man that you're here to be, and gift your highest self to yourself first and foremost. You deserve that, and to the world. Coming into landing. What has been said is perfect. What remains unsaid, unspoken, will be said at another time when it is perfect. Until then, deep bows and big love. Have a magnificent kingly day.